that's kind of what I love about like the startup environment. I think everyone kind of thrives on high level of activity. And I think I usually do too. And I operate better. I feel like I'm either like just slow in nothing or like fast in everything.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am still in Chapel Hill, such an amazing city for innovation. So many incredible female founders and talent in this town. It's connected to another town called Carrboro.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's all Chapel Hill or all Carrboro. I don't know, but it's kind of their border is so thin that they kind of just unite together. There's a great music festival here. There was a football game over the weekend. And now I get the amazing, amazing opportunity in the mobile podcasting studio, thanks to Kia, to interview Riley. Hello.
Hi.
You're like, where did she get the energy from? She was mellow a second
ago.
We're
in a car. There's so much energy. We're in a parking lot.
But we're in front of launch.
Yes, we are literally in front of launch.
We're literally in front of launch and we can see the launch sign straight into our eyeballs.
Face.
Yes, it's in our face. So, okay, Riley, go ahead and tell everybody, introduce them to who you are and a little bit about what you do.
So my name is Riley Kim. I'm a co-founder of Monikos Inc. It's a web application made for healthcare professional students to learn drug information. And so I am currently a third year at the UNC Pharmacy School, Eshelman School of Pharmacy, but I've come in a very kind of different route than the rest of the typical pharmacy students, I guess. So I graduated from Tufts University with an economics and international relations major, double major.
Yeah.
I'd always had an interest in healthcare, but I got really sidetracked by going traveling a lot when I was in school.
So Good way to get sidetracked. Where'd you travel to?
I did a summer in Panama. I spent my entire year of junior year in Buenos Aires. I did a lot of traveling in South America. I pretend a lot of times that I am a little Latina girl.
I love it.
So I got sidetracked doing that, and right after college, without knowing what I wanted to do, the only thing that I did know was that I wanted to live in New York City.
Right.
So I got a job in finance right after.
Right.
So
I like that we're not sitting in New York City right now.
I mean, don't remind me.
Okay, so you got a job in finance in the city.
I did finance in New York City, loved every minute of it, but realized that I wasn't really liking what I was doing, and I didn't see where I was going to be in the long term.
Wait, so you loved every minute of living in New York, but you didn't like your actual job?
Nope. Okay. I didn't really like it. I liked the people that I think I got to meet a lot of really great people. And, you know, finance in New York.
Yeah.
It's a lot of young people.
It's funny because I was going to say when you said I really loved it, I was like, wow, you're one of the few that really loves your finance job in New York City.
I loved the life that it afforded me in New York City and the life that it let me live in New York City.
Yeah.
But the job itself, I didn't really like that much. And so I went back. I had this epiphany moment where I decided I needed to go back to school and kind of work on healthcare related things. So I took courses at the community college and worked full time, which was, I think, hands down, still the the roughest time of my life.
Wow.
And so I did that and I got back, and I'm actually originally from Atlanta. So my parents wanted me a little bit closer, so I moved back to North Carolina. And the program here is so great and really good at actually, you know, trying to get students to do more different things than just the traditional pharmacy path.
Yeah.
I think when people think of pharmacy, they think of just, you know, the Walgreens and the CVS counters and counting the pills. But there's a lot more that you can do. And especially with healthcare changing, there's a lot more that pharmacists can do, and kind of interprofessional play happening in healthcare that pharmacists can play a key part.
And we're going to get a lot more into your company. But before that, let's talk about having a job and going to school at the same time, and essentially being ambitious and just going after what you want in life. What kind of suggestions? One of my really good friends, Melissa, did the same thing. She got her MBA while she was building her startup, and it was close to impossible, but she did it anyway. What are some of the things that you would recommend, kind of mindset, to power through a time like that?
I think
to prepare for a time like that.
You know, I still remember talking to so many people before I took the plunge and registered for that first biology class. And it was funny because, like I said, I had wanted to do healthcare in the past in undergrad, but I had this horrible experience where I was in Bio 101, I think, and I just hadn't done any very well on some of the previous exams. And I went into office hours with the professor, and he kind of sat me down, and, you know, 18-year-old Riley Kim here, you know, doe-eyed. And
yeah,
he said that there are some things in life that people just aren't good at, that they just need to know and stop while they're ahead, which, you know, he patted it a little bit. But that kind of shocked me as 18-year-old. And I think that kind of put me back in my turtle shell,
yeah,
as you say, with healthcare, and then in medicine and that kind of thing. So I think I talked to so many people before I took the first course, and you'd be surprised at how many people out there that are doing it.
Right.
I think just knowing that a lot of other people are doing it. And I took a lot of my courses at the community college just because it was the closest thing to my office,
right,
in the city. And so I think in the community college setting, there's a lot of students that are also working full time, whether it be because of career changes or whether it be because they just want a better life for their family. There's a lot of people going back to school. So just knowing that you're not the only one,
right,
I think really helped out.
How do you fit in a social life when there's no time for a social life? Because I think having that kind of social interaction is really important.
I think so. And, you know, it's part of the reason that I chose not to go to school in New York City was because I knew there was too much fun to be had. And I knew that I wouldn't have enough time or money to be doing all the things that I used to be doing.
Right, right.
And so I think at the time, I think I was 26 and I refused to give up my social life.
Yeah.
And so for the first semester, I had this crazy schedule where I would get up early because in finance, I had to work with the London and European market. So right, I'd have to get to work early.
Yeah. What's early?
Like 6 or 7 in the morning,
okay,
to the office. And then I would stay late till about 10 o'clock in the office because I needed
at
night. Because I needed to work with either LA or the Asian markets.
Right.
And then in between, I would run downtown to the community college to take class, sneak back into work. And then for the first semester, I just didn't want to miss out on any of the fun that my friends were having. So I went out afterwards. This was not a sustainable lifestyle. This was not a sustainable lifestyle.
You worked from like sometimes 6 a.m., 7 a.m., all the way to 10 o'clock at night. You split out in the middle of the day to go take a college course. And then after 10 p.m., between 7 a.m., where you really only have 9 hours to sleep anyway, if even that, more like 8 hours, even unwind and grab some dinner or something, you go out with your friends until who knows what hour.
This was not sustainable, to say the least.
What an exciting lifestyle, though.
So that lasted. But I think just knowing and having a purpose. Like I said, I didn't really know what I wanted to do before,
right,
I got to New York, or even during New York. I think just having a little bit more purpose and a goal ahead, you know, that might have been an exam in the class, or that might have been a standardized exam that I had to take, or the application itself. I think just really having something set for me really helped me work and kind of try and contain all the, you know, try to not listen to all the fun that was happening outside.
And when did you switch to to New York. When did you move over?
So I went to undergrad in Boston, and then I moved to New York right after. It's Tufts.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. You mentioned that. Okay. Yeah. I went to Emerson College.
Oh, yeah.
For a little bit.
Close by.
But I forgot that Tufts was also there.
Yep. It's a little outside of Boston.
And then after that, wait, give me the timelines again, because New York, Boston, North Carolina, or, you know, Chapel Hill.
Riley grows up in Atlanta, Marietta, Georgia, goes up to Boston because I wanted to leave the South right after high school. Went up to Boston for New York or for Tufts.
Yeah.
Moved right to New York City right after graduation. And then moved down to North Carolina for pharmacy
school. And you graduated with?
In 2009.
No, with what degree?
Economics and International Relations.
And then right after graduating, you moved to New York?
Yes.
And then and then you decide to move to Chapel Hill.
Yep.
And you study
pharmacy.
I cut you off. Yeah. Yeah. And you study pharmacy, and you do that for how long?
I'm still in pharmacy.
You're still in school.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm in my third year. It's a 4-year program. It's a 4-year doctorate program. And yeah. I'm in my third year right now.
Your life is so robust. I'm like needing to keep track of the trajectory of all the things you.
I think I thrive, you know, and it's kind of what I love about like the startup environment. I think everyone kind of thrives on high level of activity.
Yeah.
And I think I usually do too. And I operate better. I feel like I'm either like just slow in nothing or like fast in everything.
Yeah. And wait, you created this company, right?
So I get to school and pharmacy school a lot of times is recent graduates from undergraduate.
Yeah.
So I have work experience. I have many more years than everyone else does. And pharmacy is, and I think a lot of professional schools are like this.
Yeah.
There's about 150 of us that start out in the class of 2019.
Yeah.
We have all the exact same classes.
Yeah.
We're basically taking all these classes in one auditorium. So it kind of has a really high school feel.
Right.
So everyone gets to know who you are and kind of your business.
Yeah.
And so I get to school, you know, I get the rep that I'm kind of like this old kid that worked in finance before.
I swear, tech and old.
And so one of my classmates, my now co-founder, Patrick Kurunwune, he had kind of had this kind of like inkling of an idea. And he had heard that, you know, I worked in finance. Little did he know that the investment banking that I was doing has nothing to do with startup finance. So he approached me and it was originally three of us, Patrick, myself, and another member. It's now just the two of us, but we started working together and it's just been really, really serendipitous and fortunate that we've had a lot of really fun and a lot of welcoming from the university.
And when did you first, like, there's just so much. When did you first fall in love with technology? Like, how did you even think that this could be possible? It's such a huge undertaking. And then when did you discover launch and all the things, like all the things?
So I think I had, you know, I have a lot of friends now living in San Francisco. I have a couple friends that are in, you know, Silicon Alley in New York City.
Yeah.
I'd been to a lot of like the cool workspaces and seen kind of, you know, I've always been really in tune with trying to keep up with tech and kind of like the fun things that are going on and the big companies that are changing. So maybe it's the business portion of me, but or the New York City in me, but I've always kind of kept up in tune with it. So when Patrick came to me with this idea, I thought it'd be really fun. And I think I needed an outlet. I don't know. I didn't know very many people in Chapel Hill or North Carolina. I came here for school because the school was great, but I didn't know anyone outside of the school. So I thought this would be a really great chance for me to expand outside of my classroom. So Patrick asked me, we had, you know, I think we were just really lucky that UNC and especially our pharmacy school is really interested in innovation and trying to kind of enrich that in students right now. And so by having, you know, two pharmacy students that had a startup idea, I think it was in December of 2015 where Patrick and I talked over winter break over the phone and he kind of pitched, you know, had this idea and we started working on it. And about a week or two later, we had to apply for our first kind of UNC accelerator program, an incubator program called The Cube at Campus Y.
Yeah.
And they are more in tune with social entrepreneurship. And, you know, we had some social kind of entrepreneurship objectives in the beginning.
Right.
And so they accepted it. We pitched our deck. I think we still laugh when we look at the pitch deck from then because it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of made up all these figures and ideas and slapped it all together and pitched it. And they accepted us. And from then on, it's just been really, really fun working. And so the Cube has been really great to us.
Where can we look that up?
The Cube, I believe if you just look up at Campus Y, just the letter Y, and Cube, C-U-B-E,
cool.
It's a UNC affiliated social entrepreneurship kind of center. And the people that operate it are really great. And they've been really, really supportive of us.
Cool. And we'll have Carl, teammate, included in the show notes as well.
Yeah. And then I think one of the members of Cube, kind of had been sending us all these opportunities that we can participate in. And so we had an opportunity to pitch at a startup kind of pitch competition. And in one, that was also kind of just serendipitous. You know, we didn't know what we were getting into. And we ended up doing really well and won second out of about a lot of teams. I don't remember exactly how, a lot of teams. And from there, I think Launch was looking to add a couple more student groups into their accelerator cohorts.
Yeah.
And so they added us and one other student team at the time.
I mean, this is amazing.
Thanks. Like, it's been really, really fun.
You're insanely ambitious.
You know, I want to, I think some of it's ambition. I think some of it's just kind of trying to find fun things for me to do. You know, there's only so
this
many
is what you call fun.
Chemical structures that I can look at. I like, you know, I always joke, jack of all trade, master of none. And
yeah.
So kind of getting experience as much as I can. And, you know, Chapel Hill is a lot smaller than New York.
Yeah.
So I feel that life here is a lot quieter and it gives me time to do a little bit more things on the side.
I actually totally understand that. So I have so many questions. One is, where is the company today?
The company is currently, it's just a 2-man team. We have now an advisor. It's Patrick and I, myself. We have an advisor that we've really recently signed on to work with us. He's kind of our tech guy.
Yeah.
Patrick and I are both, you know, the business. He's currently actually doing the dual MBA and pharmacy program.
Right.
So he's at his first year of business school. So he's kind of incorporating everything he learns into the company as he learns it right away, which has been really great. So it's just the three of us right now. We had interns. We had student interns over the summer who were fantastic.
Right.
Patrick and I have no idea how any of this tech actually works. And, you know, we're figuring out that what we think is a lot simpler is a lot more complex. And what's a lot more complex is a lot more simpler.
Yeah.
And so we had five student interns who are rising seniors in the computer science school at the undergraduate. And so the great thing about Chapel Hill is that we just have a plethora of students around
all times.
And they're all
and ambitious
really
students.
Great.
Yeah.
Very ambitious. And they're just all really, really, really great and sweet. And so
yeah.
They helped put us, help put our currently the product that we have together right now.
And how can people stalk what you're doing as they're listening?
So they can go to monikos.org. It's monikos.org. So like I said, it's a learning application. So what we realized that, you know, you go into pharmacy school day one and they give you a list of 200 drugs that you have to know the brand name and the generic name. And so I don't know if you've seen, you know, prescription pads on bottles and stuff,
yeah.
But drug names just look like a lot of letters that were slapped together.
They do.
And you have a lot of information you have to learn from it about them.
Yeah.
And so we saw that a lot of our classmates were kind of just cramming for these exams last minute.
Right.
But one of the things in grad school that's different from undergrad, which, you know, undergrad is this protected space of thinking.
Right.
And like, you know, in grad school, you have to remember what you learn because you're
right.
Ultimately going to be using it in the real world.
Right.
And so we didn't think that this kind of last minute cramming and dumping on an exam was really effective or doing anyone any good.
Totally.
And so we have been trying to incorporate a lot more learning techniques, be it repetition, kind of spatial recognition skills and kind of incorporating that into learning the medications. And so we started out with medications right now because that's just what we know right now. But we think that this kind of platform and technology can be used for a lot of other learning subjects. You know, med school has their bones and muscles.
Right, right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So we're trying to build more of the platform as and also encompass kind of the content that could go behind it.
And how has the relationship with tech been for you, diving in? How have you overcome the areas that you're not familiar with to become as familiar as you need to be in order to be a founder?
So I've always thought that I was somewhat tech savvy. You know, I keep up with all of my apps and, you know, keep in the know of the new platforms that are being built. But then you get behind the scene in the back end of things and you realize that none of it makes sense to you. And so it's been a very, very, you know, that's been one of the biggest struggles. And honestly, to be that's as two non-tech starters.
Right.
That's been really the rate limiting step in a lot of ways.
Right.
And it's really hard to find and match people to work with for a longitudinal scale.
Right. Right.
And so it's been a very big learning curve. We are very grateful for our advisor and for our interns for being very patient with us and explaining things on a very layman term. But I mean, it's all lots of, you know, symbols and zeros and ones, and it's true.
No, totally. And so what's something that you could suggest to everybody and how to power through all of that?
I think you really need to ask a lot of questions. I think a lot of times I thought I could figure it out on my own.
Right.
I have no qualms about asking questions. So if I don't know it, you know, my interns were great. They explained things step by step. And I think tech and kind of learning how to work things is more of a learn by doing. It's not something, you know, I don't know how effective it would be to read a book and learn about this.
Right.
So I think it's a lot of practicing and learning and doing and, you know, knowing that you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but being a little cautious if you're working directly with the platform. You know, I make sure that when I'm trying to figure things out, I'm either on like the playground level or if that I'm not touching anything on the site itself.
This is your whole life is like a huge inspiration. How can people connect with you directly?
So they can contact me at my email at Riley_Kim@unc.edu.
Can you spell that for everybody?
It's RILEY_KIM@unc.edu. Or you can find me on Instagram at RileyMK.
Amazing. And one last piece of like kind of inspiration is what would you tell someone who wants to embark in building a tech company that's totally new to it? What kind of advice would you give them?
I would definitely say have fun. I actually think it's really cool that, you know, I think more and more women need to get in tech and that's really important to me. But what I found is that whoever is in it right now are really open to the community. And so if you know, you know, I almost think that there's a little bit of an easier in by being a female, being a lady in tech, because whoever is in the room that's a lady, there's going to be a far fewer of them and don't have any fear about just going into up to talk to them, because it's most likely that they feel the things that you feel and they understand what you're going through as, you know, a sole member in a group full of techie bros.
It's totally true. And I have this for you too.
Oh.
This is from a founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. This is 2120. It's 2120, so everyone can follow along. You go to shareyourcompass.com. This is cork imported from Portugal. It's made to look like gender neutral leather. And the idea is that you give it to a woman in tech who really inspires you within 2 weeks. And then that person gives it to a woman in tech who inspires them. And everybody shares their story on Share Your Compass so that you guys could all connect with one another and see one another's story to see where the bracelet travels. So it's 2120.
Cool.
Is that awesome?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's from North Carolina. And of course, the Women in Tech stickers.
Oh, thank you.
That one's my favorite one. The die cut one.
Oh.
Yeah.
One that I dropped.
Thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech podcast. If you guys want to connect with more incredible women in tech, be sure to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. It would have been a nightmare to drive.
So
you're
going
to
get rid of like your apartment and just live in this car?
I mean, pretty much.
Right?
Yeah.
And now I know you can like have a slumber party in it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's
Are you
going to
sleep here?
I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm going to go get my pillow and like spread out.
Amazing. Yes.
Awesome. Thanks, Kia.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.